As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Plus minus.
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit.
Plus minus.
That is a word right there. What'd you say?
Fluffle. Plus minus.
Yeah, like you, Marcus Thompson.
Marcus always tell the truth. Plus minus.
The only thing that I would say to Ethan Strauss is that he's a pretty damn good reporter. He's well
plus
respected.
Plus minus. I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Welcome back to the 1-2 Warriors plus minus. Do we count our wins and losses to match the Warriors? Are we 1-2 or are we?
We are undefeated.
Undefeated. Yes, undefeated. We are undefeated. We got the boss man Tim Kawakami in the building and Ethan Sherwood Strauss. What's up? Good morning, you two. Slater might be joining us. I don't know. Maybe
might have a Laker thing or something.
Yeah, Slaker,
sure.
Man. Yeah,
Anthony Slaker does what Anthony Slaker wants to do. Yeah.
Frank Vogel might have a question for him or two or something. Who knows? He's just not.
If we wanted to know the desperation of the Warriors, was it revealed in the celebration of Damian Lee's game winner over Chicago?
I'm looking at a picture of Steve Kerr hugging Damian Lee, and they look like they've been on a deserted island, and the plane just showed up, is what the expression on the faces would be. So, yeah, that was pretty enthusiastic.
I mean, Steph, winner of three championships, was running and smiling like crazy, like he had never won before in his life. It was a very telling moment.
There was two great games in the Warriors era. It was Game 6 in Oklahoma City, and it was Game 3 in Chicago. Those are the big two right there. Those are the most emotional games in Warriors history. But, hey, when you played as bad as they did to start the season, and by the way, they played bad last night too, mostly. So I think it was also like game. it was like relief. It was like, oh my god, we won this game when there's no way they should have. The Bulls are not good, but if they just play semi non horribly in the fourth quarter, they win that game, right? I mean, no question. They had to throw it away. The Warriors won it. Give them credit for that. But I think it was also like relief. It's like, oh my, this shouldn't have happened, and we just stole one. And they needed it, no question.
It's an exaggeration to say that they cared more about winning this game than that 2017 Christmas Day game against the Cavs in Cleveland that probably over 10 million people watched, where Kyrie hit that shot to win it.
You mean the one where Steph had like 11 points and was bitched at the end?
Yeah, that one. I feel like they cared more about winning this one than that one. I really do. As hyped and big time as that. Because if I think about big time Warriors regular season games, obviously people think about the Thunder game where Steph hit that shot in 2016. Or I think about that game in
particular. The Portland game 4 when he came back.
Yeah. Well, that
no,
was,
but he's saying play, regular season.
Yeah, regular season. Yeah, this was really, I mean, I had a coach text me before, the night before, unprompted, that this is a big game. This is a huge game for us. And that's not a great sign that it is, but they have to be happy that they escaped with their lives in it.
Can you imagine what we'd be talking about if that shot doesn't go in?
If they lost.
That's why sports is funny. Like, it's the same game.
Make them miss league.
It's the same exact game if Damian Lee misses that shot. It's the same Except exact
It's wholly
game.
Different if he misses it. Like, you know, that's, you know, so I guess we need to start at the most obvious point. At what point does Steve Kerr start Damian Lee? Is that what's next? Because he's 7 for 10 from 3 on arguably the worst shooting team in the league. He's a guy who's making shots. And Kerr is showing he trusts him enough on defense to play him because he's in the games. Is it worth it to start Damian Lee?
And pull out Oubre?
Yeah.
I don't – but Oubre – okay, so I'm running roughshod of you guys. I'll give Tim the floor. But Tim had an interesting tweet about Oubre that the fans are pulling their hair out going, why the hell is this guy playing? He's missing every shot. It's ugly. But the plus minus is great.
But he's playing well, actually. Outside of shooting, yeah.
Now, that's shooting's a big deal, right?
Yeah, it's huge.
It's not nothing.
But so I think they have to tweak it around him, but – he's guarding the toughest guy, you know, usually on the opponent. He's getting steals. They're getting, you know, he gets him out on the break. He's clearly not finishing anything on the break. Either is Steph, by the way. But, you know, like, he does stuff. That's important. He got 11 rebounds last night. This is stuff that they need. It just means that they have to play around the guy. Did you see that tweet? Like, he has not made a shot that is not a dunk this season. That's incredible. But there's Slaker.
I was on for 2 minutes, but I didn't want to talk till you allowed me to give that stat. So I see I'm Slaker on our recording device. I've been named Slaker now. Unbelievable.
You are Slaker. That's what you are. He does stuff, like, you know, especially against a terrible team like the Bulls. But like, how many balls did he deflect, kick out? Balls on the ground. He's on the ground. So I think you start him, probably, assuming he's going to make a shot. He's not going to go 0 for 300 this season, which I guess is still a possibility. And you play around him. And then you get Damian Lee in there a lot. I mean, I think he's earned minutes. There's no question about that. And he might close some games. But I can't pull out Oubre from the starting lineup unless you tell me, like, who you're going to play defensively on Damian Lillard, who you're going to play defensively on Kyrie. You know, who's going to get that matchup? It's going to be Oubre. You're going to need him to be Oubre, and you're going to just hope he makes some shots down. I mean, he's got to shoot 30% from the field, not 0%. And I think you can probably assume that.
I think this team's starting lineup is set. I think it should remain Curry, Wiggins, Oubre, Draymond, Wiseman. Now, that includes Draymond coming back, but I think that's just very clearly a starting lineup. The question is who needs to get minutes off the bench, and that's becoming clear that Damian Lee is one of those guys. Michael Mulder, clearly. I mean, because as we talk about Kerr shifting away from what the past worries have been, he still wants some of those Kerr-type players in there, and Lee is a Kerr-type player, right? Like, smart, moves off ball, can shoot it a little bit, can pass it a little bit, can kind of do everything. High IQ player, whatever you want to say. So he'll play, but hey, I don't think he should start.
I disagree. I think Damian Lee has been fighting against the grain of Kerr wanting other types of players, because Damian Lee reminds Steve, this is getting way too in the psychoanalysis, but I think Marcus agrees with me on this one. He reminds Steve a little too much of himself, and those type of players need to almost overperform, ironically, to get into the Steve Kerr rotation.
Would you guys agree, though, then, that he does play Steve Kerr's style better than some of the other players?
He does now, you know, and Kerr didn't think that in the last playoff run. You know, we've mentioned that Lee might have helped that 2019 playoff run, but I think he trusts him now. And this is 3 seasons into it. How many seasons? 4 seasons into Lee's time around the Warriors. And so I think given him versus Bazemore, let's clearly say it, he's getting minutes over Bazemore. Bazemore is a DMP last night, which is
two straight,
pretty
two
amazing straight. Given the talk about, yeah. When he played cameo minutes 2 nights ago, whatever, the previous night. Like, you know, he came in the second half real briefly, I think. But it's showing on the floor. I mean, he knows what he's doing.
If Oubre makes 3 more shots, Damian Lee's not getting in the game.
Like, yeah, that's... Well, we'll see, yeah. But that's 3 more than he's made. Yeah, he's made 0 shots. He's made 0 shots. It is incredible. But you make 0 shots.
He had a corner 3, a wide open corner 3 in the fourth quarter. I thought that would be the one. Like, it'd be like, oh, okay, but I made it when it counted, blah, blah, blah. And he missed that one. Yeah, it's just all bad.
He made 4 threes in a preseason game and scored, like, I think 19 and, like, was hitting. I think he might have hit a mid-range. Like, it's weird how it's just melted down right when the bright light came on.
And not just the threes. I mean, this is the pull-up twos. This is the runners. This is everything. Yeah, I mean, there's a lid on the rim unless he's dunking it or shooting a free throw. And that's bizarre for a 6 foot six player. It's just bizarre. But you got to assume it won't last, you know, certainly zero won't last forever, but we'll see. I mean, can he get to be a 38% shooter, 42% field goal shooter? That would change a lot of things. And they haven't seen it. I just say Damian Lee's going to play. Michael Mueller's going to play. Jordan Poole's playing, by the way. We could talk. I mean, like, he's still getting minutes, and I mean, I don't know about that, but if you had to say why is he getting minutes over Bazemore, I would say I don't know. But it is, you have to start making some compensations for a starting wing who cannot shoot, and that's a lot of compensation you have to make for that.
I think one of the changes that Kerr could make, I'm with Slater. I think the starting lineup is pretty set, but I wonder if he should swap Wiggins and Oubre in the second unit, because I actually like Pascal, like, going to work as an offensive player in the second unit kind of more than Wiggins. I don't like the shots he's taking.
I thought Wiggins had a great game last night.
He was great, but, like, as the primary scorer in the second unit, Pascal was just better. I want Wiggins with Steph. Like, that's
not as a passer.
Yeah, you don't need passing. You need score. You need somebody to get put their head down and get to the bucket. I don't think you need passing in the second unit. I think you need somebody who can put their head down and get to the bucket.
It's amazing that Oubre was able to provide value despite missing all those shots and maybe being the worst passing perimeter player who in the NBA among rotation minutes. I mean, it's crazy. It just shows you what some athleticism and playing hard can do, that he wasn't necessarily killing them, because it's both with him. I mean, he has missed some just obvious passes. You saw it at the beginning of the game against the Bucks, where first play of the game, Wiseman flashes wide open under the rim in front of Oubre, and Oubre double clutches it, and Hubie Brown goes, "Oh, you gotta make that pass." And that was the first play of the game. And there are a ton of those. And that's the Warriors' problem right now offensively. It's not just shooting. We can talk about shooting. There's this other aspect where nobody can really pass. And Wiggins made a few passes last night. And we were just blown away like he was John Stockton in the 90s.
Yeah, man. And listen, he was good last night. Like Slater said, he was good.
I don't know where this came from that he can't pass.
Yeah, he can get to the lane and be athletic enough and have enough vision that he can get the ball to the right guy when they collapse on him. Now, can they make the shot when he does that? We haven't seen a ton of it, but he can do that. Go downhill, but also, like, you know, you're talking about going downhill. Sometimes he goes downhill and runs into three guys, and it's a turnover going the other way. I mean, he and Oubre have done that a lot, and it ends up as a dunk on the other side.
You put him with Steph, like in the second unit, who you guarding? He's driving into three people. Like, it does every time. It doesn't matter because you got nobody out there who can shoot.
I mean, your guy Eric Pascal was doing that.
Yeah, but he's starting from a lower spot, though. You can at least get him from a lower block instead of, like, just dribbling from the top and trying to get to three people. But I also think if you put Oubre in that unit, he's going against worse players. Like, if you start Oubre, take him out halfway through, you put him with the rotation, now he's going up against second unit players with Pascal. And I think, like, that might open it up.
Also, should the starting lineup be set? I mean, I look at this and I go, I don't understand starting Wiseman unless they start to play differently. Like, starting Wiseman makes sense to me if they're going to do a ton of Steph Wiseman screen and roll. That makes sense to me.
How about just for the future?
If they're going to have Wiseman in there and they're not doing that, given the players who are in there, it doesn't seem like he's getting the ball back. We'll see.
They were doing it in the third quarter. I mean, right? They did it in the third quarter. It doesn't have
to. Fair to say that was his first bad game?
Yeah. Oh, he was terrible.
He wasn't good. That's going to happen. He's 19 years old. That's going to happen. I agree with Slater. It's like, and I wrote it, so I would have to agree with it. Like, you take the mistakes. You want to see him go through that. Don't go take the pump fake from Wendell Carter. Don't, you know, but you're not going to learn it unless he's out there versus Wendell Carter. You're not going to learn it, you know, guarding Kevon Looney in practice. So, like, these are things that they're just going to have to live with. He's 19. He still hit that three. They did run the dribble handoffs. They did run the high pick and rolls in the third quarter. Didn't run them in the first quarter. And I have no problem. And then you got Looney. Looney comes in and Looney plays
Man,
well.
He didn't want that Looney Renaissance stab in. That's what.
Yeah, he wants Looney playing 42 minutes.
Can we clear the floor? Can we clear the floor for Ethan on Looney's game?
He was great defensively, but moreover, he's got great chemistry with Steph. And Looney, because he doesn't have some of the physical advantages that Wiseman has, I think is a less valuable second unit bench player than Wiseman can be, and Wiseman can potentially test things out, go against worse players, call his own number. You know, there's a reason why he really popped in garbage time against the Nets.
But do you want him doing that, or do you want him playing with Steph? I think
it's a good question.
Yeah, I think, but again, it's not a terrible point. You can do both. You can just take him out early of the first quarter and have him come
back. One helps you this year, the other helps you for the future.
You know what else, though? More minutes for him. He can play with both, like you said, both units. He could test himself out and also get 7 minutes because he should be playing probably 30 minutes if we're really talking about the future. Yeah.
By the way, exactly. I do think Pascal as the second unit five a lot of nights is not bad. We know I've been down on him, but when he doesn't have a post player that he's got to worry about running into on offense, he's better. Like, I mean, there's going to be centers, even second unit centers, that he can't guard. But most nights, he'll be fine. And he can just go, you know, just go put his head down and go to the rim and get a foul at least. And I think that might be a better usage of him than, you know, this four who can kind of do this, can kind of do that, but is struggling to figure out where. That second unit five is not a terrible spot for him to get some, maybe, you know, a little more space and, you know, feel like it's 2019-20 all over again, where he's just do whatever. Don't worry about everything else. And he did a little bit of that last night.
I can't believe they still got him kicking on that shot. I feel like they would have corrected that.
That happened fast.
Slater, who we blaming for that, Slater? Who we blaming for that? Who we blaming for that?
For the dolphin kick shot?
Yeah. That's not fixed yet.
That's one of those where you ask and somebody goes, oh, that's Bruce Frazier. And Bruce Frazier was like, oh, no, that's pure DeMarco. No, that's nobody wants it.
I did a story on it last year, and it was very weird because he was – go back and watch his first two games in the NBA. He shot a much, like, pure-looking jumper, but he was missing everything. And then remember when he busted out against the Hornets and Blazers? He had, like, 35 on ESPN when they beat the Blazers last year. I think it was their first win. He had gone back to that weird jumper, but he was hitting it, and they just decided because they knew he was going to play high minutes by that point and was going to need to score a bunch of them. They're like, all right, just do your thing this year. We'll fix it over the summer. But they thought they were going to get a summer league. They thought they were going to get, you know, in the gym without just like, hey, we're wearing masks and you can come in for like an hour and like a one coach, one basket. So I think who we blame for it is coronavirus a little bit.
2020 is the blame. A lot of this, by the way, again, they win the game. It's really hard to judge anything when they're playing the Bulls, who are horrible. God, they're bad. And the Warriors might be bad, too, because they were right there. You know, they almost lost to this horrible ball. But how many times is Satoransky, what was his, like, he'd just dribble in, the ball would be flinging around there, and all of a sudden the Warriors would have it. LaVine scores, but he have 8 turnovers, I think, 7 turnovers? I mean, they just kick the ball around, and they give the other team so many chances to stay in the game or to blow them out or whatever. They are bad. So, like, hey, Pascal looked good. Well, it was against who, you know? And I thought Looney looked good. Well, who was he really going up against? So some of this, let's temper it. But it is better to win than it is to lose. It is better to look good, you know, individually than it is to look bad. And there were some – and Wiggins, again, I think these are the games where Wiggins is going to look good. Maybe the next one, too, against the Pistons. Like, there's some bad teams out there. And they did start against two great teams, potentially great teams.
That's funny. Wiseman looked good against the good teams and bad teams.
Yeah, there you go. Great point.
Andrew Wiggins, to me, though, is their second-best offensive player. He's the second-most accomplished offensive player at this point. I mean, I'm taking Draymond out of the equation. And I think that's starting to show.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear, right?
The difference between him and Oubre is, yes, we like the higher energy Oubre. And remember before the year, I think we on the preseason pause, like, who's going to have a bigger impact, Oubre or Wiggins? And who knows? Maybe it still is Oubre. But Andrew Wiggins is just a better offensive player than Kelly Oubre. And that's showing.
He can go get a shot. Now, he can also miss it by 3 feet, at which you've shown, which you showed last night, too. Like, in between the good shooting, he missed one by 3 feet. But, yeah, he can go get a shot. He can get to the lane. He can make a decision. No question. Well, and also, you know, we're comparing him to a guy who has not made a shot this season in a lot of minutes. So it's a pretty low bar.
Ethan mentioned it, and I know he's watched some of the film, like Kelly Oubre just doesn't even see the open three-point shooter. Wiggins was making like curl whip-arounds to Brad Wanamaker at the top of the key last night. He probably had like 7 really nice passes out to three-point shooters. Oubre might not have 7 this year, it seems like.
There are plays where Oubre drives against 2 guys in the lane and is literally facing an open corner three-point shooter like Mulder or whoever and just goes up with it. Like, you just things you're not used to seeing.
And it's often Steph. Like over there.
Yeah. You just wonder, can you coach a guy out of that? Because it's just such a, I think he's for his career, maybe 0.9 assists a game. I'm not sure what it would be per 36 minutes or any of that. But you just wonder, is that something that you can coach? Because he is still young, but it's just something that you just don't generally see in the NBA.
I think that's part of when Kerr says we got to, you know, alter the offense. We got to do this kind of downhill stuff. Get the pick, let him dive, see what happens, is that Oubre can't do the motion stuff. Can't. That's just like, that's not what he's going to do. And, you know, he can't figure out exactly the right spot. He can't figure out where the ball should go. That's just not who he is. And so let's just figure out how to work Wiggins and Steph and everyone else and kind of put Oubre in the corner there. Just have him stand. This is what he did on the final play, right? Oubre just ran over to the corner. I was thinking the ball was going to find him because, of course, that's normally what happens at the end of games.
Always
the
guy what
can't
happens,
make a
right?
shot and ends up with the ball.
Yeah, it did early in the quarter.
Just stand in the corner, and if the ball comes to you, it comes to you. But, that's what he's going to have to do. And let them play a 2-man game on the other side or a 3-man game, including somebody in the middle, and have Oubre off as an outlet. That doesn't mean he's going to have to hit some threes, but that's what I think when Kerr's talking about the downhill offense. It's just, you just can't have guys reacting to movement when they don't make the right decisions. I mean, how many times have we seen Kerr pull guys out who can't make decisions? No, can't make decisions and can't make shots is an incredible twofer. But that's where Oubre is right now. That's part of simplifying the offense. It's part of just like, okay, let's just make it Steph over here, Wiggins over there, and everyone else just kind of stand around and maybe set a pick or two. And that's what they're going to do.
So we got to talk about Stephen Curry, who, man, it got. I think he hit rock bottom this game. But did you see anything to make you think it's over? It felt like there was one moment he missed a shot and started screaming at it. Like he was just screaming at himself.
Everybody's got to calm down, man. I would love to know if you could show a tape somehow that hid what year it was or who the other players were. Maybe you just show him moving and a lot of the analysis that, you know, there's something deeply wrong with him. I don't see him moving all that differently from what it's been in the past. Is he at the level of 2016? I would say no. Is he declining? I mean, every player is on the other end of 30, but he has a game that should serve him well for a while, and it's a high variance game. So sometimes the shots go in, and sometimes the shots don't. But did you see that hesitation dribble he had where I can't even remember who the defender was. So the defender jumped up to just block on the hesitation dribble and flew by. He's an elite player. And I think that has been somewhat obscured by the struggles around him. And he will have to answer for it if they're not very good this season. But I do think there's been an overreaction just based on the ball not going in.
We're just not used to seeing Steph shoot 9-for-35 from three. Like, it just doesn't happen.
Like, he's missed some open threes.
Yeah, I disagree. Yeah, he's had
this him. Is a slump. Yeah,
this is a long one, though.
Yeah, it's a long one. And I thought the one where he misplayed the wide-open layup was unbelievable to me. Like, I just don't remember him doing that. And it just shows, like, this is stuff that's getting in all their heads a little bit.
After that is when he, like, started yelling
at himself. Yes, exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah, and then he started hitting some shots. So, like, he's still who he is. He's still going to, you know, figure out exactly how to get to the right spot. He's going to set up his teammates. That stuff's still there. You know, again, less dynamic than he was, but he would have to be. Still think he's there. You know, it's just, going to have to see the ball go through the basket. It is amazing every time I hear people say that, but it is true. These guys who've made thousands of shots in their lives have won MVP, still want to see that first shot go in. And
especially
then
a shooter.
Yep. I mean, it's like Steph, I mean, he keeps saying, I expect every shot to go in, right? That's always been his mind. Like, whatever. That's why he throws those heaves at the end. Like, I don't think about them missing. I think about them going in. But even then, he wants to see that first ball go in, and then everything gets easier from there. And we're really seeing it this season, I think, to the start. It's like he just is thinking about these shots. He's kind of, there almost was a double clutch, I think, on one of them last night. And that's not what we're used to, but I think he'll get out of it. And I think that one, I'm pretty confident.
What you're saying is so clear. On the very first shot, he gets wide open in the left corner and he misses it. Like, he makes that shot, it's probably an entirely different game, especially after the 105 threes. I bet you he was thinking about it. I bet you he was thinking, all right, now I got to make the shot.
That's like the home run derby jinx is the 105 video jinx is what it is.
By the way, they shouldn't, maybe to what Tim was saying, they shouldn't have put the pressure on
why would they do that?
Like, maybe wait for the game to happen and then show what was happening in practice.
Wait for the breakout game and then show. Yeah, absolutely.
I got a lot of people mad at me for saying that, by the way, but it's just a distraction. Like, hey, we're terrible, but look, we've got Steph who can make shots, you know, in practice. It's like, no, you don't do it that way. And then, you know, TV talks about it all night long. You talk about what he does in the game.
You can't do it while he's not making shots.
You can do it after, when he breaks out, you can say, hey, this is what he was working on before the game. You don't, like, while he's slumping, put that out. That's kind of a crazy thing to do.
It's Warriors from the old regime. That's what it totally felt like. It's a great timeout. Forget about what's happening on the court. Just look at what our cute guys can do, and look at these cute little fun things. Now, I don't want to go on a rant. I'll stop myself there, but that's what I was responding to.
I just want the great timeout theme music in the background while it goes up. Like,
paying the practice banner, you know, practice championship.
Don't look at what's on the court. Don't look at, no. Look what happened in practice. That's the stupid stuff from the previous regime that is just symptomatic of distraction, not of what is actually happening. Watch what's actually happening. Not shockingly, I'm with Jim. Like, hey, he does this. Like, what? I was looking at something else. Like, it's like, hey, I personally have seen Leandro Barbosa make like 30 in a row in practice. This stuff happens. They're very good. He's Steph Curry. He's going to make a lot of shots in a row. Don't send it out to like think it's like, oh my God, look, we're still great because Steph made him in practice. Win freaking games. Then talk about
you just
stuff.
Setting him up. Yeah, you setting him up. He has to make a 105
game. I don't mind them putting it out there, but they need the moment. Because fans do eat that stuff up. They like seeing the stuff from practice. I think it's the timing. It's just the timing.
I agree.
Yeah, you can't be 0-2. You can't be going into a game that is maybe the biggest one they've had since the 2019 finals. And not even maybe, it is. It was. That was the biggest game. Chicago Bulls on December 27th was the biggest Warriors game since the 2019 finals. You can't put that out there. You just can't do it.
That was a game between two lottery teams last night. Doesn't mean the Warriors will not make the playoffs, but if you just took this current version and they played every game this season, yeah, they're not going to win that many games. Yeah, it's Draymond getting back, but also, like, this is the test of a coaching staff that is saying, and I'll listen to them somewhat, of rusty players, 9 months off, which is completely understandable. New team reforming. We're trying to figure out who we are. We're already seeing Kerr make offensive adjustments. I will judge this team a lot harsher game 25 through 30 than game 1 through 5, but they better make the improvements that, you know, Steve Kerr says they're going to be a much better team 2 months from now. They need to be, because this is a lottery team right now.
You might see it again tomorrow night, and then Draymond comes back and he's going to be rusty. And, you know, we'll see exactly how that all works out. Certainly not going to add shooting to this roster, but probably going to make him better defensively. We'll see. But, yeah, that was a bad game last night. That was bad. I mean, they win. It was still bad. They did a lot of bad stuff. Steph kind of bails them out at the end, obviously Damian Lee, but they still got some things. I mean, they could get blown out in Detroit. They almost got blown out by the Bulls there for a while. 12 down in the fourth quarter or whatever it was. They're like going, they're going to get blown out by the Bulls?
Bulls had him at arm's length the whole time, too. I mean, it was not until the Damian Lee shot. Yeah, they stole it.
Last few minutes, the Warriors were coming on. I mean, the last few minutes.
It felt like Steph finally got pissed off. That's what it seemed like. Steph finally got mad and decided to forget all this other stuff. Forget the offense. Like, let's just go rogue. Let's just make stuff happen.
We will be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
Let's talk about the defense a little bit. I mean, to me, that's the bigger concern early. I know all the stories are about the offense, and the ire of the fan base is about Steve Kerr's offensive system and the need for changes. But remember, we all said this is probably going to not be a great offense this year, but they're going to be a six seed potentially because they'd have a top 10 defense. I know there's no Draymond. I know Wiseman will get better, but this is not a good defensive team right now.
If they could just solve one problem, they'd be so much better. The ease with which opponents get three-point shots on this team is insane. Even when they're hot, like, they give up the most soft, wide-open threes you ever seen a Warriors team give up. It's crazy. It's like Kobe White, Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter. They're all just – it's like practice threes with this team. It's unbelievable. There's always a player running from across the court because he blew an assignment. It's like if they could just guard the three-point line, they'll be much better.
That's why they're doing a zone thing a little bit, I think. I mean, you would think zone's bad against three-point shooting, but it also just keeps people from getting screened, which is what is causing all this crazy. And like, they're getting screened. They're giving up the dribble drive. It's the kick-out stand-up. Or they're giving up
but
the offensive rebound.
But you got Ollie Wing. Switch everything. Yeah. Like, what's the problem?
I don't know what's going on with that. Yeah, and the offensive rebound, I mean, they're giving up offensive rebounds like crazy. And they're just standing still. Ball's coming right back out to the offense. Kick it back out to a three-point shooter. And, I mean, they're doing bad stuff.
Some of it's Wiseman. I mean, Wiseman doesn't know where to be. And I think if you were to critique his game last night, the awareness, look, it makes a lot of sense that he wouldn't. I mean, Draymond said it. He doesn't know anything. You know, he's played, what, one legit college game? It makes sense. But I think you just want to see more effort. It seemed like he wasn't playing with force in that game.
He's shying away from contact more than I thought he
yeah,
would.
Yeah, he needs to play with more force.
Except when he's going up to dunk. Like, him and Oubre, like Duncan.
He let LaVine come in for just swoop in, and even, like, Fitzgerald was like, come on, James, you gotta get over for that one. It was like,
he didn't even get off the floor. Yeah, he didn't even get off the floor.
He's hesitant on stuff. There's no question about that. But, again, he's 19. And you know, he's 7'1". He should just like, he's just be 7'1". You know, just like, if that's what you are. Like, you know, Slater was pointing out the screens in his story today. Like, he's 7'. He doesn't have to set a great screen at 7'1" in that length. It's hard to get around him. It just is. He's big. Not bump people around. People will move because he's that big. He's having issues with him. I just think he's looking around and three things are happening and he picks one of them and it's the wrong one. And clearly that's going to happen for a while.
You know what else I'm starting to see with him? It's only three games, but you can feel the game starting to pile up. He looked kind of tired. And, you know, we're talking about a guy who's, you know, really, let's go back in his life. He's played three legitimate games in the last, what, like 27 months of his life or something like that. You know, it seemed like that burst of opening night, that burst of the Christmas day was like, oh, I'm here. Oh, my gosh, I'm playing basketball again. This is crazy. I'm in the NBA. Now it's like, hey, guess what? Another game in Chicago. Get on this flight. Play this game. You know, you're going to have another game in Detroit on Tuesday. These are going to come quickly.
Right?
Like- yes. And it's a pandemic and they can't even leave the hotel. Like, you know, this is a rude awakening to the NBA life. And I do think we're going to see some effort lulls. And I thought last night, I mean, I know Ethan has said this to me. He really looked
low energy last night. And he is a high, you know, that was their whole thing when he came to practice, was like, whoa, this guy is flying around. And we've seen that some, but he's a much worse player, like anyone, I guess, when he just doesn't have that juice. And he didn't seem to have it as much last night.
Play him through it.
It's something Draymond will help, I think, too. I think, like, Draymond screaming at you, I think that's a big deal. We saw this a little bit with Jordan Bell. They just kind of get paralyzed by the processing and they slow down. And I remember they used to try to get, just like, Jordan Bell, just run the floor hard every time. Just run it hard. And he couldn't do it because he was thinking too much. You see a little bit of that with Wiseman, where he's trying to process and it's slowing him down.
Look, he should be going hard no matter what, but big men are what they are. And if you don't, what is the Shaq quote about, if you don't feed the big dog won't guard the yard, you know? He was frozen out of the offense for the first few minutes of the game, and obviously that doesn't mean he's dogging it out of some resentment, but I just think it's harder for a guy to be galvanized if he's just going end-to-end.
That's really the problem involved. When the wing dudes can't make shots. They're worried about getting themselves going.
It was Oubre. It was like, let's get Oubre going. And that's a curious decision, but it really felt like the first
Steph
quarter.
Steph, too, a little bit.
Let's get Oubre going. Like, what? He has not made it. Let him get a shot in the flow, not like, let's get him at the top. And I know Marcus loves it. Steph dribbles up with the ball, and then immediately passes it to Oubre and starts cutting. It's like, is that how you want to start the offense, with the guy who can't make a shot? But if he does make a shot, yes, the game is different. The game probably feels different. It's just that we haven't seen it happen yet. Get Wiggins into the offense. Do you really need to do that? Like, I would say get Wiseman into the game early. It's probably the clearer, yeah.
They ran 1-1-5 pick and roll, and I think it ended in a dunk.
In the first half, because they were playing in the third quarter. They were playing the Wiseman-Curry pick and roll in the third quarter.
It just was weird to watch, like, him just kind of, he was like nomadically in the game. Like, he just was kind of there. And when he got the ball, he took like a quick long two and airballed it. Like, he's just like, yo, I finally got it. Let me shoot it. So you could probably help him.
You swish or airball. It's really weird.
It is weird. How about him just, but also cold as hell, just stepping in and stroking another three? He's 5 of 6 from three. What is going on?
It's nuts, right? Like, he had no chance of missing that three.
What do we think of his shot? Because with lefties, it always throws me off. I feel like lefty shots always look a little weird to me. I guess he has a bit of a long windup, but as I wrote about,
it's like a left-handed swing, baby. It's always pretty with lefty.
He releases it just straight up vertical. Like, if that's a shot, that's an unblockable shot. And you have to be a big running and jumping to block that. And so, I mean, if he's got that confidence, that's going to be a weapon. The thing I have not seen from him, but I was talking about it, I was asking some questions of DeMarco, who works with him, is at what point does that turn into a pump fake? You know, is that the next step in this? Because you start thinking, you know, Chris Bosh is the master pump fake artist, and he was so good because he would go right a lot of the time, even though he's lefty, off the pump fake, and it would just throw off defenses. But this guy's a lot bigger than Chris Bosh. I mean, he's maybe standing reach, maybe about half a foot taller than Chris Bosh. So that's a potential weapon, but in order to justify the participation, he needs to be better defensively and play with more energy.
I'll just say, on his dunk, he did dunk it right-handed, which you could go through.
A
lot of players who have not yet, you know, many years in their career, who have dunked it with the opposite hand. And to come off the pick and roll, get
like off one foot,
go right hand in. He could have dunked it with his left, maybe, but it would have been a little more traffic. There's skill. I'm going to be the Wiseman guy. I'm just going to say, there's so much there that if you just keep playing him. And let him, you know, obviously next to Draymond will be very big for him. But just let him feel what it's like to play with Steph, with what defenses do with him. Let them feel what they, you know, if they start protecting against your jump shot, what you do next. Those are all important stuff. And I think it's just key for the Warriors to see it and let him feel it. I think he's smart enough where he won't get bad habits, because they got bad habits from last season. I don't think there's any question. And this is like, with Steph and with Draymond, you'll pick up good habits, theoretically, maybe even in some losses. And I think they're going to lose some games, fellas. I think this team's going to lose some games this season.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let me ask you guys about the big man spot, because you have Marquise Chris now out probably for the season, and you really only got two centers. One of them, Looney, although he played better, has injury concerns
so
himself.
Are we going to talk a little Alan Smilagic? Is that what's happening?
That's the roster spot, yeah.
Can he be available? Can he do that?
Yeah, he's in a sweatshirt over there. He's in a red sweatshirt talking to Draymond all game. but yeah, it's either Smilagic should get – I mean, if they actually believe that Smilagic could become something and this is a developmental year, yeah, they should attempt to get Smilagic some stretch 5 minutes. But if they don't think he can't, they kind of need to maybe free up a roster spot. I think Dwayne Dedman would really fit this team, and I think a lot of basketball people out there agree that Dwayne Dedman would like
they
get
liked,
minutes
yeah,
on this team.
They liked him a lot, yeah. And he wasn't he on the
training camp,
yeah,
yeah,
they
had
training camp roster? Yeah.
With him, everybody likes the production he gives, but then he bounces from team to team. And with guys like that, I just always wonder, what's the story there? What's going on?
As a third center.
Good enough to want, yeah, not good enough yeah. to keep.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely could see Dedman, and then you'd you'd cut Smilagic at that point. I mean, I don't think we're talking cutting Mulder here, and that's the other option. So
cut
this
Chris,
is the point,
right?
You can't cut him injured.
You could, but his money already guaranteed, so that you're not like saving contract wise. And I do think they want Marquise Chris to potentially be part of their future. Like, I think they believe if he rehabs, he could be on minimum backup center for the next 2 years.
He'll come back. He'll be back. Like, it's already happened once.
But what if you let him go and go rehab by yourself?
No, I just don't think it's a good idea to cut injured people. I'll just put it that way.
It's a terrible idea, but. Is it Smilagic?
Yes, this season.
You'd have to cut. He's not in his next
two.
You have
to cut and stretch him. I mean, you know, essentially to get rid of some of that luxury tax bill or play him.
Justinian Jessup?
He's not Justinian
Jessup.
He doesn't count, does he?
I just felt like throwing the name out to see
it's
what
a fun name.
You think they keep Marquise Chris injured over Smilagic?
You want to know why I would say yes? Because I think they believe it's a likelier chance Marquise Chris is part of the rotation next year than Alan Smilagic.
I mean, that's the ultimate indictment on the pick.
Ouch.
Like, if you're taking a guy with
Am
a
I
broken
wrong?
Leg. No, no, I mean, they'd be right, but that would be an admission.
I also, again, I don't believe in cutting injured players. I just think it's wrong. You know, like, you want him to get better at your facility, around your guys. He got hurt with you. Obviously, you know, in emergency times, you have emergency situations.
I didn't hear none of this when Omri Caspi got hurt. I didn't hear none of this.
Was he hurt? Was he actually hurt, by the way?
He tweaked his ankle. That wasn't...
I didn't hear none of this rehab locally, you know, like...
That wasn't a surgery. And
Tim's probably right about the ethical considerations, but I would like some way to bring up Justinian Jessup, just because that's the new name that's fun to say. You know, Smilagic is yesteryear, Justinian Jessup. We just need more excuses to say it on the podcast.
He's got to be Colonel Jessup. That's like the perfect nickname.
This is the problem with having a developmental player on your roster when you also have Klay Thompson out for the year, and now you have also Marquise Chris out for the year. You have three roster spots that are not being used, and a team like the Warriors needs to use them. they're going to have times when they need another center. They're going to have times when they just figure out what they can do at guard, and this is the problem. If Smilagic is just a luxury player, This is what the Lakers can do. It's not what the Warriors can do.
By the way, Lakers are developing a lot of guys. I mean, maybe that's all luck. I don't know what skill is involved in all of it, but I think if the Warriors can't turn out some of these draft picks, there are going to be some questions of what is the secret sauce that a team like the Lakers have, or the Nuggets, or the Heat, that the Warriors don't. And what's up with that?
No question. If you know, you're throwing out Carusos and all this stuff. Yeah, there are like useful players that the Warriors are now sort of scrambling around trying to have their first round pick, Jordan Poole, from a year ago, be anything. And their first round pick from 3 years ago is off the team.
The one thing I'd say about Poole so far is I'm more confident when he's going up to shoot from three this season. I'm more confident.
Not from two.
Especially when it's
not
a catch
two.
And shoot. When it's a catch and shoot.
Yeah, true. Yeah, catch and shoot. The problem is that's what he should be.
The problem is he makes one and then he starts chucking like, yo, I got this now. Like, that's the
Here
problem.
Here I go.
Be cool. Yeah. He'd be cool. He'd be all right. And what you mean, man? He was 1-for-1 from two yesterday. What you mean?
Was he?
Two?
Okay. I've seen him hit those mid-range or like clang.
One for one. It actually was like an important floater now that you say that.
Yeah, 1-for-1. Let's go. Let's go, Jordan Poole. Way better than Smiley Geach.
I heard in preseason training camp that Barbosa was just busting dudes in practice. If Barbosa wanted to return, would there be a spot for him considering the deficiency?
The old, who's the guy used to do that for the war? Paul Pressey? Presley?
Oh, yeah.
Pressey. He was
an assistant coach. Go ahead and play. Yeah. Got that dude off the bench.
He was great in Milwaukee. Pressey was incredible.
He was a beast.
All right. You guys ready for the upcoming schedule? At Detroit to end this road trip, but then the 7-game homestand is actually tougher than I remembered it being. Blazers, Kings, Clippers, Raptors, Pacers. Pacers are 3-0 right now. I want to start making more definitive thoughts about this team at the end of that homestand. That gives them much more time to grow, to do it at home, to get Draymond back and in rhythm. What is this? That'll be 11 games in. What's a success to you guys after 11 games? Like 5-6, I think would probably
be close to 500. Yep. 7-5, they need to run off the court like they did in Chicago.
Oh, yeah,
they go 6-5.
To quote Mark Jackson, you just don't want to let go of the rope. Yeah, don't want to let go of the rope.
I didn't think you'd be quoting Mark Jackson in this podcast.
He had some good phrases. Good phrases, man.
Don't get swept by Portland.
Stay
tied
together.
Yeah, don't get blown out by the Clippers.
Kelly Oubre, you're a knockdown shooter. We believe in you.
Be representative again. Beat the Kings. Just do stuff that a decent team does. That's all. And that's 5-6, it might be 4-7. There's some tough games there. But 5-6, I think I'll say 5-6 would be pretty good to come out of that. They better beat Detroit tomorrow to get to 5-6, by the way.
I miss certain aspects of Mark Jackson. I missed how you could just transcribe him so easily because of the cadences and the pauses.
The long pauses.
Good. You could just transcribe.
And you could almost predict what was coming, too. Like you could kind of feel that next word.
He honestly would do something like he would say, Kelly Oubre, we still believe he's a knockdown shooter. We believe in him, and he will continue to shoot. And then when the press conference would end, he'd go, he can't hit anything. We're going to we have to find a way to get it. Oh, my God. Yes.
Mark Jackson.
Drink.
Yeah. I didn't think we'd do 5 minutes on Mark Jackson on this show.
Mark Jackson, I'll give Mark Jackson his credit. Players developed under Mark Jackson. You say what you will.
They played D. He had, David Lee and Monte Ellis on his original teams, and they played D. So that's not terrible. That's not terrible at all.
I see three wins, team, by the D. way.
You see three wins coming up?
Yeah, I see three in the next.
You think
they
get swept by Portland? That would be bad.
I think they get one against Portland.
Win one of those.
And beat the Kings. Like, that's it.
Oh, you say three more, not just three total. Okay, so you're saying 4-7.
Out of that next 11.
You know something we haven't talked about, but we should probably think about a little bit, is Steph's going to get this box and one treatment from these teams. And what are they going to do? What are they going to figure out? That's what I'm looking at as I look down the pipes.
They're going to get Damian Lee on the floor, and we're going to need to play some Michael Mulder too. They're going to have to get their shooters on the floor. That's when Oubre comes off.
Draymond is going to just become so important to the path of this season. What Draymond Green shows up.
And you do a box and one, and they do the pick and roll with Wiseman. What happens? He should be free rolling to the basket, right? Because everybody's going to be jumping at Steph. That's when you start doing that stuff.
They're going to do some Draymond Steph pick and roll. Draymond is the dive man, Wiseman in the dunker spot stuff too. Quickly before we get out of here, what do you guys think about this Draymond situation? I mean, like he was definitely trending towards playing Sunday scrimmage. They made him questionable. They had him talk to the media, which very much signifies an expectation he's going to play. He said he hoped to play, and then suddenly they go, nope, he's sitting the rest of the road trip. We want to give him 5 more days for conditioning.
He mentioned conditioning on the call, so maybe it was on his mind even then. I was surprised, and I know I think everybody was surprised by that. How much time do you really need to, you know, you don't need to play him 40 minutes if he's just playing five
sometimes
minutes.
Sometimes conditioning is good, you know, 20 minutes of an NBA basketball game is good conditioning.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's how you go run back and up and down to get yourself in condition.
And if there's any team for him to do it against, it's that Chicago team, right? Just go run out
it
there.
It doesn't help your conditioning to go on the road because they just can't find time to really work a guy out. I will say he's been great as far as the Slater Draymond dynamic over Zoom, you know, it just as an aside has been fantastic.
He is leaning into like his analyst hat. He's been great on the Zoom calls. And the other day he was watching Grizzlies Hawks as he's doing the Zoom call. And he's like answering a question. He's like, hold on. Wow. Ja Morant, this guy's unbelievable. And then he's like, gets back to answering his question. I'm like, this guy, I mean, he's a really good analyst.
You're like Kenny Smith now, Slater. It's like, you're just gonna back and forth some NBA talk. How about that?
Hey, if he wants to get me a Kenny Smith paycheck, you know, sorry, Warriors Plus Minus podcast. If I'm being,
are you saying this Warriors podcast is sorry? Or are you apologizing to the podcast? Sorry, I think he said this.
Well, I mean, geez, don't we already pay you enough? Wow, man.
Wow.
You already looking for another check? Jeez. All that money you get from Warriors Plus Minus?
Yeah, we give you the four years, $100 million deal, just like we gave Draymond gone, and now you're looking for your next gig. Jeez.
No loyalty.
Unbelievable. You guys are the ones to hype me up saying I could be Kenny Smith now, suddenly. I mean,
I retract anyway. My apologies. I retract that.
By the way, I mean, this is another aside. I don't mean to ruffle feathers, but one of the things that's happening is we're not going to games as much, so we're watching more games and just watching the ESPN Christmas Day product. Woof! It's like, man. Sam Esfandiari put up one of those old NBA and NBC intros of Marv Albert introduction of the big Christmas Day game between the Knicks and the Bulls. And then when you contrast that to the countdown, I know that there's a lot going on and it's difficult to just get the season off the ground, but you just hope, you just want better. You just want better from them. You know, I'm just taking my shot.
There you go. And ESPNG, where did you used to work?
Well, yeah, there's no bitterness. I want them to do better.
No grudges at all.
No, not at all.
You know, play up the game. Stop telling us these details about the players' personalities. It's weird. We don't need to know that.
Yeah, I was watching, like, they did some feature right before the game, like, going, this should be later. I don't want to see this now. I don't even remember what it was. It was like, you're doing this now? I mean, give me the game.
You know, you could do it. I was even writing the script in my mind, the modern day Marv, what he would do for Warriors Bucks. And I would play up the kind of flirting that Steph was doing with Giannis. And then Giannis, you know, struggles in the playoffs. And then, you know, but now Steph's alone and Giannis is recommitted to, you know, and today they face off the NBA on ABC, whatever. And it's just, you could make it feel like a big deal. Like, we don't need to hear, about Wiseman, you know, learning different languages or anything like that. We need to know why these guys matter, why this is a big game, why Wiseman's the future. They're just not setting the table. And it just seems like they could invest in more of it and do a better job. That was my takeaway. And I'm saying it just because I don't ordinarily see as much of it as I am seeing right now.
Media critic Ethan Strauss. Got it. I mean,
I was going to say,
NBC did it better. No question. NBC did it great. It's not them anymore. So it is sad.
Are we doing a post-game Pistons podcast? Is that happening? Or are we waiting until the homestand? What do you guys think?
I'll do Pistons.
All right. It's a big one, kind of, right?
Yeah, we're arranging this stuff on a podcast now. We're setting up our schedules while we're doing another
behind
podcast.
The curtain. That's a little peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, a little peek. I'm trying to let the listeners know, should they anticipate it or not?
Yeah, we will.
Let's
do
say
one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we will do one after the game, after the Detroit game, since we didn't do one after the
All 72 game. Will be back. All 72 will be back. It was all 71 now, right?
All 71. You know. I gave up on all 82 about 3 years
ago.
Don't admit it.
It's still give the
he
mythology.
Already did many times.
Well, you know, I had a bunch of playoff games to go, hey, eventually I will get to 82. Now, I cannot necessarily say that about this current team.
You say that's not happening now? You say, well, you got the play-in game. Yeah. You got one.
I had an election poll worker during the midterms ask me why Slater wasn't doing all 82 anymore.
Well, there wasn't games for 9 months, so, you know.
I just like it when they see a Warriors loss and just say, tell you that Ethan and I are just so eager to do the all 82
after those losses.
Well, they won and we didn't do the
pattern confirmed.
Blame it on me and Ethan.
Pattern confirmed.
Me and Ethan. All right, we've promised Brian Smith to wrap this up before an hour. I think we're verging on that. So anybody else got any finishing thoughts here?
You're going to respect Jordan Poole.
Jordan Poole.
ESPN's TV product is the Jordan Poole of... No, I'm just kidding.
Jeez.
So that means they hit every now and then. Come on.
All right, they're all right. Well positioned. They're getting in the rotation. Feeling good.
We're clearly off the rails here. See you tomorrow.
It's the smile of each.
We out of here.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.